You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I know. Good start.
Simo, do you want to take a moment? Do you want to clear your throat? Are you good?
Look, it's Monday.
Actually, I've got a lozenge.
You do actually have lozenges.
Would you like one?
Yeah, chuck us a lozenge as well.
Yeah,
chuck
it. You're right. Yeah.
There you go.
Happy Monday.
Good throwing. What is this? Thank you. Okay. Well, that was a good start for Monday.
Yep.
Shall we try that all again?
Go for it.
Now, Simo, I know I say this every single week pretty much.
Yeah.
I reckon I have found the weirdest news story of the year. I'm calling it now.
Okay.
Until we get a weirder one next week. Although I doubt that we'll get any weirder than this.
This is right up there.
Simo, so this one takes place in Germany.
Mm.
And look, I'll just read you the headline.
Okay.
German nudist chases wild boar that stole his laptop.
There's a lot to unpack there.
There are pictures of this which are not good. Just because it involves a slightly overweight, naked German man.
Oi, that's all a matter of perspective.
You said the same thing before when I showed you the pictures.
Well, if you're a naked German man listening this morning, look, I don't judge you.
Yeah, 100, being provided you're not, like, casually walking down Sharp Street in Cooma naked, then you're fine.
Plus, it's not their fault that they do have a lot of fattening, enjoyable foods, because Kranskis, vice versa, Bratwurst, any of the other sausages.
I'm moving to Germany. This sounds delicious.
Yeah.
But no, so Simo, this guy was sunbaking in a place in West Berlin in like a nudist park.
Oh.
So it was completely fine. However, a wild boar, which have been known to roam around this particular park, picked up the man's laptop bag in his mouth. People believe that the pig thought that it may have contained food and then ran away with it.
Also, can we just backtrack? Did you say that this is a nudist park? There's no beach involved. It's just people go there to get the kid off?
It's a lake.
Oh, it's a lake.
It's a lake.
So there is a body of water.
Yes.
Because what consumes people to get naked, is it the fact that there's water in the surrounding vicinity?
Mm. I mean, I don't know. I've never done it.
Neither. But it's quite an odd thing. I assume that the wild hog wasn't wearing pants.
You assume correctly. The wild hog and two piglets as well that he had with it were all nude, along with the German man.
Wow.
So after chasing the pig for a little bit, he did manage to catch up with the pig and retrieve his laptop bag.
Nice.
Which is good. And as he was walking back to his sunbaking spot, he got a very large round of applause from all of the other nudists who happened to be there.
Have you got the comments from what the photographer asked him?
We should say, so another guy who was at this facility took photos of this event, posted them online with the guy's permission, because obviously he's naked in them.
Yeah.
And that's why they've gone like super viral and everyone knows about it. What have you read the comments?
I have. So basically, like you say, the photographer of this bizarre event of a naked man chasing some wild boars, they went up to him and was like, is this okay? Can we put this online? Apparently the guy just laughed and was like, that's hilarious.
Simo and Jordan.
And you're a man that enjoys chicken.
Yes.
Right. So what's your preferred method of chicken?
Why are you quizzing me about chicken?
Well, I'm just asking, do you prefer them alive? Do you prefer them cooked? How do you prefer them cooked?
I definitely want to go for a palmy.
Okay.
Can't go wrong with a palmy or a schnitty.
So you would take a palmy over a live chicken any day?
Sounds a bit cruel to say.
If someone offered you a live chicken or a chicken parmigiana, which one do you take first?
Oh, the parmigiana.
You hate wildlife, good sir.
Why, if I came into the studio with a live chicken,
I'd run. I'd run. I'd be gone. I'd be out of here.
Well, then now we know if Simo's ever at a party and you want to get rid of him,
yep.
Just bring out the live chicken.
We'll throw any live animal at me. Gone.
I mean, some edibles, if you throw it at me, I reckon I'd be fine.
Okay.
Like, if you throw an ant at me, I'm like, eh. I just flick it off and move on.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
Unless it was like one of those bullet ants or whatever.
Yeah, you'd want to stay very still.
Yeah. But don't throw edibles at me.
The reason I mention the chicken issue is because KFC Russia have been up to some interesting ideas.
Okay.
So chicken chain over there, KFC, you're familiar with what it stands for?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Nailed it. So it seems like they're kind of messing with the third part of their acronym.
Okay, so the chicken bit.
That's correct. So KFC in Russia is planning to use a technique known as 3D bioprinting, already used in medicine, to reproduce meat in a way the company claims cuts energy usage in half, uses 100 times less land than traditional farming, and emits 25 times fewer greenhouse gases.
So what? So they're making chicken from a 3D printer.
That's right. Yeah, your nuggets. You'll be able to print your nugs.
I assume they're... admittedly, I'm not an expert on how 3D printers work.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming they're not just feeding, like, chicken mints into the printer and using that as ink.
No. They are well. Would you like further details?
Yes.
So KFC has partnered with Russian company 3D Bioprinting Solutions. It's a lab started by Russian medical giant In Vitro, right? And what they're using is, like, chicken stem cells, so they're not using chicken mints and then just printing out nuggets. What's the point?
I don't know. Might be a quiet day at the 3D printing factory. They might want nuggets.
Yeah, so the technology is creating the chicken meat from scratch.
Okay.
Yes. Where there was simply but organic material, there is now chicken out of a printer.
There's someone in our office that has a 3D printer.
Yeah, they're a little obsessed.
It's Jono.
Well. Yeah.
If he comes to work with, like, nuggets or something for lunch tomorrow...
And he offers you one.
What? Don't take him.
don't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
How good is that?
It is limitless in its ability to be good.
And it's also limitless in its ability to be terrible.
It swings both ways.
So, Simo, it's Monday, so it's time for How Good Is That? We've got an item here. It could be absolutely anything in the world, and let's try and work out whether it is good or not. If you reckon the item's good or not, get on the phone, give us a call, 645-72-977. Simo, we don't know what the item is right now, so it's always a bit nerve-wracking at this time because we don't know what's coming up. It could be anything.
Tense moment. Are you feeling confident?
All right. I'm feeling confident it'll probably be something to do with food because they normally are.
Barbecue sauce. 3, 2, 1, go.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
You don't like barbecue sauce?
No, it's just... What flavour is it?
Barbecue.
Would you lick a barbecue?
I admit, no.
Yeah, there you go.
But I also wouldn't lick a tomato or a sweet chilli.
You'd be more likely to. Which one? If you put them in all in front of you... If you had a tomato, a chili, and a barbecue of unknown description, of unknown sourcing.
Is it like a brand new barbecue, or has it been used and, like, not cleaned? Is it one of those ones where, like, a dad will have a barbecue and goes, yeah, I'll clean that tomorrow, and then 6 months later hasn't done it?
Each have all endured the same conditions. So
a tomato's been out there for 6 months.
Yeah, so nature.
Oh, that.
Yeah, so the same kind of nature, they've both kind of had to deal with the elements, right? Mm. There's a barbecue, there's a tomato, and there is a chili. Which one, like, are you licking any of them?
Look, I mean, you've backed me into a corner now, I'm not going to lie.
Take that.
You and your tomato and chili and barbecues have pushed me quite literally into a corner.
So...
I guess the tomato?
Correct.
If I had to.
There you go, see?
But still, barbecue sauce is... I'd prefer barbecue sauce over tomato.
Well, pray tell, what flavour is it, Jordan? Barbecue sauce.
I don't think anyone actually knows.
There you go,
How do they make barbecue sauce?
Probably just grease off a barbecue, shaken up a bit, and then...
Delicious.
Added some sugar, and away you go.
But Simo, I never used to be a barbecue sauce fan, and then kind of...
Oh, you radicalised later in
life.
Yeah,
my taste buds changed. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I love barbecue. I can have it every day.
Is there anything that you will not have barbecue sauce on and have a different sauce?
Ooh.
So, like, pies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the gravy pie.
Yeah, but I still put barbecue sauce on top of the pie.
Okay, right. I thought maybe, is there any pastries or is it free game, barbecue sauce?
Well, I mean, I don't think barbecue sauce will go with a dessert-type pastry.
Right. Oh, that's fair. Like a crepe or a crepe or whatever it is that they're called.
But if it's a savoury pastry like a pie, yeah, why not? But Simo, why do you not like barbecue sauce?
Nah, it's not a flavour.
Yeah, but it's nice. It doesn't matter what it is. It's nice.
Yeah, it's a little bit too, especially cold as well. Temperature is a big thing for me.
Let's not get into, do you keep your sauce in the fridge or the pantry? That wasn't the thing for today. We'll leave that for another day.
However, it's not a natural colour either.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Have you seen barbecues? Most of them are brown.
Anything that's brown and oozes, do you really want to put it in your mouth?
Well, if it's labelled barbecue sauce, then yes.
Okay. Oh, so if it was labelled.
And is barbecue sauce, don't even get any ideas.
Simo and Jordan.
Shazam. You ever use the app?
Yeah, Shazam, the app. Use it all the time.
How does it work?
So if you hear a song, perhaps one that plays on the radio.
Yes.
You can kind of press your phone and it'll listen to it for 10 seconds or so, and then it'll tell you what song it is. So it's really handy if you don't know what the song's called.
Well, scientists have invented Shazam for spiders.
So spiders can know what song's playing?
Yeah, on their tiny little phones.
I mean, if scientists have invented Shazam for spiders, I feel they're one step ahead. They should maybe invent iPhones for spiders
first.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, they've gone one step too far.
It's like, spiders are like, okay, great. First, we need the device that this works on.
So, Australian scientists have been busy. They've invented a new app that can identify all local species of snakes and spiders.
Oh, I see. So, you take a photo of the spider and then it'll tell you?
So, if you've had that moment in life where inside your own house, you've once uttered the words, "Is that poisonous?" and it's not in relation to your cooking, you can then use the app.
I don't know why, but the first thing I thought of when you take a picture of the spider, you know what it is. The first thing I thought of was, is it like a Pokemon Go? You go around taking pictures, collecting spiders, and then you can battle against them. I feel like Australians would dominate.
We would probably.
We would have to absolutely win that championship.
So, yeah, as mentioned, the app works in a similar way to Shazam. So, basically, you take a photo of the spider, it matches it against hundreds of thousands of images from its database.
Okay.
Now, the database comes from the CSIRO.
Yeah.
Right? And the app is called Critopedia.
I like it.
They're pretty good, right?
Scientists took the rest of the day off where they thought of that name.
And would you use it? Would you be... Because how do you deal with spiders? You're just you hit them with... things, right?
Bottom of my shoe, they normally get.
Bottom of your shoe.
But, I mean, you want to hope that this app is right, because you don't want it to see a spider, and then you take a picture of it, and then it shows up, it says, oh, this is the big, fluffy, happy spider, and then you realise it's like a redback, which are insanely poisonous.
No, well, like, all of the, as mentioned, the research comes from the CSIRO, and apparently they can identify the critters, like, right down to, like, poisonous, not poisonous, family genealogy, so, like, one spider you might take a photo of on Tuesday and then take another photo on Thursday, and they're sisters.
Not going to lie, don't really care about any of that stuff.
I was thinking...
Just give me, is it poisonous? Will this kill me or not? And that's... I don't care if it's got a half-brother called Dave. Just let me know, will it kill me or not? That's all I care about.
I reckon we should apply... They should apply that same science to a new dating app. So, like, will it kill me? Will it not?
Well, I mean, hopefully not.
So it comes up with, like, oh, yep, their dating history, if they're venomous.
They've murdered three people.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey, Simo, I think I've asked you this before on the show, but I can't remember the answer.
Yes.
Do you snore or, like, sleep talk?
I have been known to... Yeah, actually, it's funny you mention this. I have been known to sleep sing.
Okay.
Exactly how it sounds. That's what I was doing.
Well, it's interesting you bring up sleep singing. It'll become interesting why in a couple of minutes. But Simo, I've often been told that I kind of talk in my sleep.
Ooh.
I kind of murmured. We'll just say random words.
Okay, right.
So I thought over the weekend I would try and find this out for sure, because I never really believe the people.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe it's just me being overly skeptical.
Yeah.
So Simo, there's an app you can download for your phone. It's called Sleep Recorder.
Okay.
So more of these, you set it on before you go to sleep, and then it'll just be on your phone, it'll just be sitting there, and if it hears a noise throughout the night, the microphone will turn on and record it. And then when you wake up in the morning, you can have a look and you've got like 10 or whatever recordings.
Wow.
Of you sleeping.
Okay.
See what the noises are. So it's kind of interesting. It's a bit creepy as well, I'm not going to lie. But it is kind of interesting to kind of listen back and see what it is.
As long as the files aren't being sent to Russia or to, you know, someone that wants to hear how people sleep, I guess. It's fine, fine.
Well, Simo, I mean, hopefully that's not happening. Obviously. But Simo, I do have some of the recordings here.
Ah, yes.
Of this is genuinely me last night. Okay, you pushed that fader very high to make it sound louder than it actually was. It was not that loud.
It's like, what is this?
It's like a bear or something.
It's like, shh, we don't want to awaken the beast. Be very quiet.
I'm not sure I like myself being called the beast.
We need to try and get past this monstrous cave. What is that?
All right.
It is he whose name must not be spoken.
All right. Enough mocking me snoring.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. I think I must be pretty bad as well because I've had girlfriends do the full earplugs so they can't hear me late at night, so that's fine.
Well, Simo, it's interesting that you brought up sleep singing as well, singing in your sleep. So you've done this?
Yeah, so at a younger age, I was obviously in The Sound of Music. I played Kurt, and then apparently in the lead-up to performances...
We should say, you were in a theatre production of The Sound. You weren't in the actual movie. No, because I think that came out in, like, the 40s or something.
I'd be very old. No, so I was in a stage show of it.
Yeah.
And in the lead-up to the performances, apparently at night, Mum, Dad and the brothers couldn't get any sleep because I was rehearsing while asleep, just like singing my parts while I was catching some Z's.
Well, I mean, it's always good to be prepared, I guess.
Yeah, prepared and professional, I guess.
But Simo, the interesting thing is that I realised when listening back to me sleeping this morning is that I do that too.
Ooh.
Well, yes, okay.
Finally, something in common.
Okay, disclaimer here.
Yeah.
You've heard me singing on the show before.
Yeah.
It's not great.
And that means the sleep one's even worse?
God, I don't even want to play it now. Do we have to? I've dug myself in a hole. We have to. Okay, this isn't going to be good. I just want to stress that. This isn't going to be good. All right, so that's me snoring. Then in a minute I'll start singing and you'll hear it. So, yeah, so that's me. Yeah. So it's not very good, is it? Like, it's just...
Do you know what you're singing there?
I don't know. I can sing in another language when I sleep as well. And there's an orchestra in my bedroom, apparently.
So that song, are you familiar with it?
Yeah, well, I YouTubed it the other day to record that. So that wasn't actually me singing.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay, good.
So that song, FYI, Snorri Man, was, I believe, was it Time to Say Goodbye? Con te partirò in Italian?
I YouTubed Andrea Bocelli. It was the first one that popped up.
That just sounds like you're cooking pasta in your sleep as opposed to just...
Hey, then I'd have pasta for breakfast.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.